At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
What's happening, everyone? I am really excited about this. We are going to be ranking the 10 best midfielders of all time in the Premier League era. Helping me do it is none other than the wonderful Turkish. Make sure that you click the link in the description below. You will find the link to Turkish's channel. There's some fantastic content, so make sure that you click that link and check it out. Turkish, always a joy, sir.
Yep, always.
Thank you. We'll go straight into it, right? We are going to pick the 10 best midfielders to have ever existed in the Premier League. And just for the record, we're talking proper midfielders here.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you were to think David Silva, Juan Mata, not that style of midfielder.
Yeah. Not the AM's 10 type of midfielder.
No.
The CM's and DM's. The
exactly.
Box-to-boxes
proper box-to-box central midfield.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned central midfield.
Yeah.
Premier League era.
I agree. Let's do that.
Okay. Let's go. I'm going to kick us off. I'm going to start at number 10, Paul Ince.
Oof.
I don't think anybody talks about the brilliance of Paul Ince.
That's fair.
I feel like Paul Ince is one of those players that perhaps because he doesn't talk to only one fan base, nobody really supports him.
Yeah,
Michael Owen suffers a little bit from it.
I agree.
Like, Liverpool fans don't quite have Paul Ince because of the Man United success. United fans sing about him being scouse still, you know.
Their greatness has been subdued by some of the moves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
right. And people, nobody goes to war for Paul Ince.
Correct, yeah. But quality player. Went abroad as well.
Went abroad when it was very... Like, he went away, succeeded at Inter Milan, when Inter Milan were the governors.
100%.
That's what they called him, in fact, wasn't it? The governor.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's
not forget the whole black man in Italy in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's also an added layer onto it.
Yeah, I think he was England's first black captain as well, I think. I just think that Paul Ince is a true, true great of the game. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know the definition of like box to box midfielder. Yeah. I think he's that, isn't he?
He is.
He is like the true definition of a great box to box midfielder. Excellent in both boxes.
Exactly. Yeah. He can do a bit in front of the defense. He can do a bit behind the attack.
Yeah.
He was perfect for that role.
Yeah. I completely agree.
That was an era of two midfielders as well. So those midfielders had to work a bit harder than they do now.
And because it was such a long time ago, people kind of forget that era a touch. But you know when Manchester United were winning doubles. They beat us in a cup final, in fact. They beat us 4-0. Like, Paul Ince, Mark Hughes, Eric Cantona, like, that was the team. Mm-hmm. Paul Ince was the main man
General.
Of that midfield, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I've got Paul Ince at 10. Who have you gone for in number 10?
I've gone Fabregas.
10?
Yeah.
You mad?
Well, when you hear the...
You've already had... Like, I'm already now questioning the legitimacy of your list. There's absolutely no way that there's nine better midfielders in the Premier League history than Fabregas, you maniac.
It's a mix of things. It's a mix of my favourites. It's a mix of, you know,
yeah,
quality.
People that broke your heart.
I mean, he did. You know what? With Fabregas, I don't really look back at him ever wrongdoing us. I think he went home to Barcelona. Yeah. If I put myself in that situation, you know, if I put myself in those shoes, I'm playing at Barcelona. All my friends are at Arsenal winning everything. I'm going to go back to Arsenal. And when he was available, he called Wenger. He called us and said, listen.
Yeah.
And Wenger turned down the opportunity. So
you're being quite kind. Like, the way that he left. Do you remember, didn't Carlos Puyol put a Barcelona shirt on him before he was a Barcelona player and stuff? Yeah.
But it wasn't like Fabregas was just there and said, put it on me. He was kind of wriggling out.
You're a bigger man than me. Because, you know, if that was me... I would be so angry. Like, if I saw a Chelsea player wearing another club...
I was angry at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Times are heating,
isn't it? And he called us first, so I always respect the fact that he wanted to come home away from home.
You must have an outrageously gifted list if there are nine players better
than
Fabregas.
I think so. I'm a Barclays merchant, you know. I'm a 90s, early 2000s merchant, yeah. So a lot of my list higher up is made up of...
So Fabregas at 10 for you. Who have you gone for in 9?
Yeah.
I've got Toure in 9.
Just pipped Fabregas for me. I think Fabregas done more in the Premier League, but I think that Yaya Toure season, I struggle. Aside from a Lampard, I struggle to see a midfielder produce that sort of a season in terms of goal scoring and the threat in and around the box. And different to Lampard, he had a bit more about him. He was a machine. He could do it in front of the defence. He could do it behind the attack. And he could also bang in a free kick top corner if he wanted to. Yaya, it's a shame his career didn't have the longevity it should have, but the moments he had it, it's...
Okay, can I ask you a question that's going to sound a touch controversial? Are we very kind to Yaya Toure? Because he was here for 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, people think that 7 years, and don't get me wrong, the season that you're talking about, it was unreal. Frank Lampard spoke about it. Frank Lampard speaking about Yaya Toure kind of tells a story. He was like, look, I kind of knew I was done when Yaya Toure was doing that. Yeah. He knew that it was kind of coming to an end. Just couldn't live with him. And that particular season, he was immense.
Yeah.
Like, truly immense. Goals galore, running the length of the pitch, dominating to a level that only the very best do. But I would say that Yaya Toure was outrageously good for 3 of the 7 years.
And that's the problem. In this list, I have to take out those 2-3 seasons and look at that in isolation. You look at it overall, it has an impact. He'd probably go down many lists.
Mm.
But in terms of, listen, if Lampard can say it, who are we?
Yeah.
What I witnessed with him, it was like a Vieira regen with a bit of Lampard around the box to him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's two of the greatest, that's two midfielders that's in my list higher up. So if I'm saying you're a mix of two of the greatest midfielders and you've produced that.
And then you win the league.
I look at it fondly from afar. Arsenal were never competing at this time. So we were just watching what was...
And it stopped us winning the league, which I assume you enjoyed it as well.
That helps.
Yeah.
That adds
he was outrageous. Do you know, I was really on the fence between two players. And ultimately, I'm going to have to leave this player off. But it was, for me, it was Essien or Yaya Toure. And I just couldn't fit them both in. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had to have Paul Lynch in this, almost because not enough people remember. And I kind of wanted to make the case about how brilliant he was, both for Liverpool and for Manchester United. But was Yaya Toure that much better than Michael Essien? Both at their peak. He had the goals. He definitely had the goals over Essien.
I think it's clear at their peak. It's just that we didn't see enough. It goes back to Yaya's peak wasn't for long enough. But at his peak,
I'm an Arsenal fan that watched
Vieira captain us to the Invincibles. At Yaya Toure's peak, I thought this guy is going to go on to be a greater midfielder than Vieira.
Yeah, if Yaya Toure had performed at that level for the 7 years, talking about, like, he's definitely top 5, and then you're talking who knows where.
Exactly, but top 3-5 you're talking then.
Okay, so we're in agreement in 9.
9, yeah.
Who have you gone for in 8?
Rodri.
Rodri?
Yeah.
Mate, you're having a mare.
Why? Isn't he in your top 10?
No.
Have you ever seen a more pivotal player for a great club?
Mate, who are you leaving out?
No, but I'll answer this question. A great club that loses one player and becomes mediocre.
Yeah. Have you ever seen it with any other? Do you think
Ballon d'Or winner?
Do you believe, honestly, and look, we have no way of knowing this, but in some parallel universe, if we could explore Manchester City, play Arsenal that day, Rodri doesn't get injured. Yep. Do you think that City win the league? Like, do you honestly believe that one player's injury was so damaging that they went from the team that potentially win the league to a team that lose 9 out of 11 games? Is Rodri that important and that good? I mean, or was it coming anyway?
It's hard to say but it's also hard to say that if he didn't get injured, they wouldn't have fallen off somewhat because they had already reached the top of the top and they hadn't refreshed enough. But I just think Rodri profile-wise, listen, we talk of Yaya Toure being a mix of maybe a Vieira and Lampard at his peak. Rodri is a Busquets light. Mm. And in my opinion, Busquets' profile of midfielder, you know, of that profile, Busquets was the best. And I'm not saying Rodri comes close to Busquets because in my opinion, he doesn't, on the ball especially. But I think Rodri, in terms of the Premier League, we've seen nothing like that. You know, we can talk about the great Chelsea side, we can talk about the great Arsenal side, the great United side, and great United side, Carrick probably comes closest to a Rodri profile.
Yeah.
But I think Rodri's importance to the team, a treble winning season, the leadership, a bit of arrogance to him as well, you hear in the interviews. And
Yeah. I know, he comes across a good guy. I like him. Yeah. I really like him. Yeah. He speaks well. He speaks well about modern day football. He's a very articulate bloke.
Four in a row, isn't he part of all four of them as well? So
I've never known a player in any list like this when the player who is currently playing is already in the iconic list. I don't think that would happen with any other position. Maybe would you put Haaland in the top? Yeah, maybe.
Salah would be in the top.
Salah would as well. So yeah, maybe it's not quite so rare. But it's I mean, it's iconic.
English
status.
Football hasn't been graced with many Ballon d'Or winners. Michael Owen and Rodri.
Yeah. I mean, Ronaldo won it at United, he went that year.
Yeah.
But gosh, mate, Rodri's thrown me. I haven't got Rodri here in this position. I have got N'Golo Kanté.
Okay.
I've got N'Golo Kanté.
Fair.
And Rodri, to tell you now, Rodri isn't in my list. But N'Golo Kanté, in terms of what he did, in terms of his contribution to football in this country, like, you know, when you think about that Leicester victory, it's actually the greatest sporting achievement that I have ever seen.
There, yeah.
I don't think any sporting victory comes close to what they did. Like, what on earth were they doing?
Because of the consistency you have to show to be able to win what you want. It's not tournament, it's not knockouts, it is 38 games.
I don't think anything in sport has ever happened. Like, you know when I think about, like, sporting upsets, in about 01, I remember Goran Ivanišević won Wimbledon.
Yep.
And just to demonstrate it, right, that was, he was a wild card.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was 80-1. Leicester were 5,000-1. 5,000.
They changed the market with that win.
Yeah, they have. Today, doesn't happen anymore. Yeah.
The bookies ain't messing about.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. I just think that what happened in that Leicester team, it's my favourite ever sporting event in a kind of non-tribal way.
You're a Chelsea fan. Leicester winning the league or Porto Champions League?
I think Leicester winning the league is a bigger achievement. Porto are a great club.
And it was a knockout tournament as well, two games.
Yeah, Porto are a great club. Yeah,
but I'm trying to think, because you are right, when you say greatest sporting achievement, I'm trying to think of the wildest achievements of...
There isn't anything. I honestly don't think there's anything. And N'Golo Kanté, Riyad Mahrez, Jamie Vardy are the reason that it happened. You know, I don't believe that it was Ranieri's brilliance. I don't believe that it was Robert Huth's brilliance. I think it was the three players that we just mentioned. And N'Golo Kanté winning the league there, leaving Leicester, and then being the first player since Eric Cantona to take the league with him.
Yeah.
Like, Cantona did it, Leeds, Manchester United.
Leeds, Man United, yeah.
Kanté wins the league at Leicester, leaves Leicester, joins Chelsea win the league.
Wasn't he player of the season back-to-back as well?
Also, mate, when we won the European Cup, like, this is now, what, 5 years later?
Yeah.
But when we win the European Cup, my God, he was unbelievable. Yep. He really was. Again, it will go down, and rightly so, but it kind of goes down as the Havertz final. Yeah. I'm kind of remembered for Kai Havertz. And also, we talk about other players a lot from that Chelsea win. Mm-hmm. We'll always talk about maybe Mason Mount's contribution to it, and it's huge and should be discussed. Timo Werner, we will talk about the run that he made that allowed Havertz. It was Kanté. It was Kanté. So we win the league under Conte. 5 years later, we win the Champions League under Tuchel. Kanté.
He's an under-the-radar player, but when you take a step back and reflect on the Leicester team or the Chelsea team, he's probably the most important piece of them all, you know.
And everything he did, it really is the Midas touch. Like, you think about that World Cup win as well with France. N'Golo Kanté.
And his humility as well. He's just down to earth.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to... You know when they're doing it? You know, I love that. You know when they're kind of going around the outside of Luzhniki and, like, Paul Pogba's dancing. It's all brilliant. And then they throw... When it comes to the Kanté bit and they throw him up, Kanté, he don't want to do it. He's got the scarf tied around his head. He don't want
to
do it.
He just wants to get in the mini and go home. That's all he wants to do.
He is a player that if I met, I would be completely starstruck. Like, completely.
Yeah, yeah. Love to have a conversation with him.
I love it.
Premier League legend, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, Shark. I think I saw a picture of Sharky with him. You know Sharky from STS?
Yeah, STS, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing the picture. I was like, what?
When did this happen?
Yeah, yeah. I think I would love it.
Kante's seventh, so.
Okay, so Kanté here. Yeah. So who have you gone...
No, so Kanté's my seventh.
Kanté's
so
seventh.
He's your eighth, but right. My seventh. So.
Yeah, so my next one is, I've got Vieira.
That low?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've got Vieira.
A couple of people hitting the dislike button right now, I can tell you that.
Do you think it's low?
Yeah.
Really? But then I'm looking above, mate, and I don't know what I could possibly do differently.
But I mean, you were shocked that one name I mentioned pretty low down the list, which that name you haven't mentioned, yeah. which I assume that name you're going to put above Vieira.
Coming next.
That's crazy. I think Vieira...
Okay, let's do this then. Let's just have this chat. Is Cesc Fabregas a better player than Patrick Vieira?
No.
Are you sure?
I know the angle you're looking at it from.
You sure?
No, because you might say Vieira can't pass like a Fabregas, but Fabregas can't move like a Vieira. Yeah. He can't dominate a midfield like Vieira. Yeah. He can't move box to box like... Well, he did early in his Arsenal career.
No, I know what you mean. There are obviously attributes to Patrick Vieira's game where he totally outweighs Cesc Fabregas.
All round, he's just a beast. And in my opinion, he embodies the era of Premier League I loved. Not just because Arsenal were winning, but because it just felt... It wasn't just a match, it was a fight, and whoever wins the fight probably wins the match.
Game,
Vieira was our main man.
That I would agree.
So a Vieira for me is definitely too low on that list.
Vieira too low. Okay, well, we'll talk about Vieira again then. Because
so he's seventh for you.
Seventh for you. Yeah, I've got Vieira in seventh. Who have you got in sixth?
KDB.
So have I.
Nice. Deserves to be there.
I'm outside the top.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Five though, so you know you mentioned before that people might be disliking because of where I've put Vieira. Yeah. A lot of modern day fans will think that it is scandalous that neither of us have put him in the top five Premier League midfielders of all time.
I know,
but we're right.
Yeah, what I tell them is maybe you didn't live through the era we lived through to see certain players that we hold higher in regards. Because like I said, a lot of my top end of the list comes from 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
KDB, amazing player.
Totally.
You know, what he was doing at City. Whether he was CM deep line, whether he was AM number 10, his passing, his range of shooting, some of the goals he scored, some of the crosses into the he's got a cross that you say that's a De Bruyne cross.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? From a very particular place on the pitch as well. It's kind of not wide and it's not on the byline. It's like slightly further back and used to angle it,
like
didn't
a
he?
Half space.
Haaland, it was a glorious cross. Begging to be put away, and it often was.
Yeah,
there's no doubt that he's an icon. And when I talk about De Bruyne, people do get the hump with me. They don't think I give him the respect that he deserves, and I most certainly do. Big goals. The goals, I remember the goals that he scored against Arsenal when they were on their way to winning the league. He did it to us. When City, you know, in the past when we've spoken about the challenger this season, I would say Arsenal, the challenger need to win in a big place.
Yep.
So this season, when you went to Anfield and you didn't win, I was very harsh about Mikel Arteta. Mm-hmm. I was very, very scathing. Fair. And I basically said, you have to go there and win and claim the title. When we were champions and City wanted to be, City came to Stamford Bridge and they beat us 1-0 and Kevin De Bruyne scored one of the most perfect goals past probably the best goalkeeper in the world at the time, Thibaut Courtois. Mm-hmm. Who they had beef, so there was more to it as well. De Bruyne's celebration was fantastic. I wish we saw more of this from him. De Bruyne pings it in with his weaker foot from 25 yards. On some level, it was in December, but on some level to clinch City the title.
Yeah.
And when he celebrates, all he does is look at Courtois and sort of jog backwards, but just looking at Courtois. Like people are celebrating around him, and he's just looking at Courtois because of their history. And I was like, That's a geezer, man. That's proper. So I'm not taking anything away. He won the title at Stamford Bridge on some definition of the term. But I don't know why there is a soft quality. There is a softness to him that just doesn't exist in the players.
I get you.
There is people really don't like what I'm about to say now. But he went off injured in two Champions League finals, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
People just think that it's crazy that I bring that up. But you know, when I think about the Warriors of Munich, like David Luiz played for us in that final on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he scored a penalty
with
like basically on one leg. Like Lampard was done. Ramiro, like Warriors, absolute
Fabregas
Warriors.
Fabregas broke his leg against Barca for us, or some part of his leg, and he still took the penalty.
That's right. And I just, like, particularly in the final, when we beat City, De Bruyne going off, he had a challenge of Rudiger. Rudiger done him, basically. But he went off, and I was so happy. I kind of thought we were going to win it now.
Yeah.
People won't like this at all. But am I onto something, or am I just being overly critical and overly harsh?
Listen, you're talking to someone who has said it twice now. My favourite era is 90s and 2000s, and players never used to come off with knocks them times. Mm. They'd finish the game, finish the season with knocks.
Yeah.
So I think it plays a part at the higher end.
Yeah.
You know, some of the names I've mentioned that are some of the names you've mentioned in terms of they got injured here, but they continued. Yeah.
Do you know when I try and explain the difference between, say, a Cristiano Ronaldo and an Arjen Robben?
Mm-hmm.
Arjen Robben, I believe, has maybe not all of the talent, but enough talent to have been that comparable to that tier. Maybe not as good as them, but definitely in the next rung down.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was never quite as good as that.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, I can remember being at Anfield, Jamie Carragher goes straight through the back of Arjen Robben. Arjen Robben jumps up. He's fine. He jumps up. And he goes like that to the bench, 20 minutes into a game at Anfield, because it was mental and hateful and aggressive. I just don't think Cristiano Ronaldo goes off in that circumstance. I just don't think he does.
No, he's a warrior.
Yeah, and I've heard Carragher talk. I think it was Carragher. It was on an episode of Stick to Football, and they're talking about Luis Suarez. And they were like, you just couldn't get the geezer to have a day off. Like, he was injured, and the medical staff just couldn't make him not play. Like, he would just play all the time, and he drove his teammates mad. Because they're like, mate, can you just have this?
Have a day off.
mate. Yeah, and I feel like this is going to really reflect badly on me. People won't like it. Or go, he's injured. What do you expect?
But we're talking higher end of the list.
These are the difference makers.
Yeah, exactly. Little things make the difference when you're discussing players of this ilk.
Yeah, but he is undoubtedly. Look, we've got him in sixth.
Yeah, big game player.
Yeah,
big game player. Can assist. Can score. Can drag a team.
Yeah.
Done it all. And you've done it all with a quiet persona.
Yeah. So we're now top five.
Yeah.
And my fifth is Cesc Fabregas.
Okay.
Do you know what, Turkish? Honestly, on some level, I can't explain how much I love this bloke from once how much I disliked this bloke. Like, I remember we went to Cardiff. We played you in Cardiff. And he was fighting with Lampard and he got a bit of celery chucked in. He was taking a corner and he was taking it in front of our fans. He got a bit of celery and he was acting injured off the celery. I was like, what are you doing? Like, he really wound me up. And I think I fell in love with him because he was just masterful footballer. Yeah. But weirdly, I kind of think he fell in love with us as well. Which, again, I don't think he would have expected.
No.
I don't think he didn't like us. In fact, didn't he say, if I ever sign for Chelsea, shoot me or something mad, like something really aggressive.
Yeah, I think so.
Something really aggressive. But I just think that everything that people thought about him, it just isn't true. Like, I used to think Stoke away on a Tuesday night, to use the cliche.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think he wouldn't want, he loved it.
He loved it.
He loved it.
He was on it.
Game as anything. Yeah. He'll have anyone round the throat.
Yep.
Like, he didn't care.
He had that edge, that
real edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Like real edge.
He broke his leg against Barca and stuff.
Yeah.
Slotted the penny. Went to Chelsea, I'll never forget, because it hurt me so much seeing him in a Chelsea shirt. His first game, that assist for Schürrle.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest assists I've seen.
Yeah,
it was
just
like, I know him, and he's just gone and done what I know he does in the first game.
There was something very symbolic, wasn't there? Do you remember him? This is when Arsenal, actually, any Arsenal fan watching this won't even want to relive this, and you most certainly won't. But it was like a symbolic moment that demonstrated the power of Chelsea and the problems at Arsenal. And you know, when we talk about the biggest clubs, it was kind of one of those moments where you're like, oh, there's an equaliser here. This is kind of coming. Petr Cech, our best ever goalkeeper, was not very good anymore and he was in goal for you.
Yep.
Cesc Fabregas, one of your sons, was in his pomp at us and he lobs Cech and scores for us.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, everything's kind of gone, my equilibrium's off. What's going on like this?
Alternate reality.
Yeah. Alternate reality, absolutely.
It felt like that with Fabregas, for sure.
And he just turned up. He won us the league. The vision, the ability, the leadership.
It was him and Kante, right?
Him and Kante and Diego Costa up front.
Costa up front.
The vision from Fabregas to find Costa. And Costa's brilliance in finishing.
Yeah, yeah.
It won us the league.
if we're making a list of the greatest passers in the league.
Oh, he's top, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's certainly comparable to the very best.
I think so, yeah. I think you said it off the cusp, they're top. I mean, yeah. Even if you take a step back, you could argue a case for him to be up there in terms of passing ability. Yeah. The weight of pass was always just so...
He could play a pass that really, really good footballers couldn't even see.
Yeah.
He would have executed it before Christian Eriksen has even seen it's on. Mm-hmm. Christian Eriksen had vision. You know what I mean? But he wouldn't see it.
I remember Eriksen in his pomp as well. Mm. Fabregas, it used to be a shame because, you know, as an Arsenal fan these days, you know, Xavi and Iniesta, they're just the men. And I'm not saying Fabregas was ever close to them in terms of the legacy they set and, you know, the standing that they hold in world football. But Fabregas managed to make himself different.
Yeah.
You know, he became the false nine for Spain or for Barcelona. He was probably, off the top of my head, one of the first false nines to actually win big things.
Yeah, it was a great management there. They just put them, just made it work.
He was a bit more robust. He was a bit more physical because of the Premier League. And yeah, so for me, as much as Xavi and Iniesta take the plaudits and then even Busquets just after, in that conversation of Spanish midfielders, he never really breaks into that conversation, which I think is unfair because he was completely different. He was as useful. But the Premier League made him, in my opinion, a better player. Not than Xavi and Iniesta, but just a better player.
Overall footballer. Total footballer.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just love Fabregas. And I love seeing what he's doing at the moment in Italy. And do you know what? On some level, I dream of him managing Chelsea.
I mean, things are going well for us right now. So I hope Mikel wins us, what he needs to win us. But Fabregas, for me, maybe the story is he never done it as a player, but he comes back to do it as a manager one day.
Maybe. Maybe.
He's done it for you as a player, man. Leave it at that.
That's a story, though, isn't it? Player and a manager. Arsenal's prodigal son does it for us as a player and a manager. I'd love that as well. Don't worry. I would love that. Who have you gone for in fourth?
Fourth. So I've gone Lampard fifth, by the way.
What?
Yeah. You didn't even ask me.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
Mate, that's scandalous. I'm not sure we can continue. That could be the end of the video.
You put Vieira
and the end
seventh.
Of this friendship. I've loved working with you, Turk. It's been really emotional. Thank you so much. But this is over.
You put Vieira seventh, bro.
Oh, is that what you've rejiggled it to try and have a pop at me?
Will tell you. Now, Lampard fifth.
You can't.
In that age-old debate, and we know what it is, I always put him third on the list, and that's no disrespect to him.
You can't.
I just think overall, all things considered, and I'm not going to start on why I don't rate him as high as them, maybe. I just want to talk about Lampard in general. And I mentioned Yaya Toure's one-off season could stand up there with Lampard's. We mentioned why Yaya couldn't do it for a longer time. Lampard did do it for the longest time. He's up there, the highest goal scoring midfielder in Premier League history.
Our highest goal scorer ever.
For Chelsea ever. And you've had some good strikers over that time, two good attackers over that time. He was an amazing player because I just didn't ever understand how he was so good. Does that make sense to you?
Because he
wasn't the greatest passer. He wasn't the greatest dribbler.
Dribbling perhaps... I feel like his vision, his eye for a pass, it's one of those very underrated qualities of his. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that it's Fabregas' vision. But I am suggesting that in terms of the ball get played into him, and he would do it so often, it was so effective, played into him, and he'd play a first-time ball round the corner long, over the top and Drogba be in.
Yeah.
It's like the first time sweep, kind of keep the ball moving in. Yeah. And then... Do you know, if you think of one of the best goals that has ever been scored in the New Camp history, one of the best goals ever scored in that ground, it's Ramirez, right? Chip in Valdez. Yeah,
beautiful.
Everyone focuses on the chip and they're right to. But my God, the assist. Lampard, right? He has a 50-50. He kind of gets fouled and then you see him look
and then,
he just plays it. And Ramirez has no option but to score. It's that good an assist.
It's on a plate.
And Valdez comes out in no man's land and the finish is exquisite. And to have the minerals to have that shot that Ramirez did there, it shows you who Ramirez was. But the vision from Lampard. Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I think he was a very good passer of the ball.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of when you put him with the best passers, he'll probably drop down. If you put him with the best dribblers, he'll drop down the list. But what he had... His timing was impeccable.
The finish.
You know,
the finish.
The finishing on top of that. Timing is one thing. Yeah. Getting there is one thing. Putting in the back of the net is the other. And I've never seen a midfielder do it as consistently to a higher level in the biggest of games than a Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
He even got unlucky with that England-Germany goal. That would have probably also
changed everything.
Added to his career.
Absolute legacy. I completely agree. But yeah, there was just so many goals, so many big moments.
Yeah.
And like even... Even you got to think, like, captaining Chelsea to a European Cup, scoring for Chelsea in the European Cup final that we got beat. Like, it was a goal that I've never seen back. But it's cool, you know. But yeah, fifth is mental. And
then he went City and scored against you, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to City and scored. Do you know when he started scoring for City? We won the league that year, thankfully. Yeah. But when he started scoring for City, I was like, go on, Frank. And by the end, I was like, this is starting to get on my tits now. Like, yeah. He started doing it every week.
Yeah, you're like, they're going to win the league. Purple patch again.
Yeah, but no, he's a remarkable player. 100%. But fifth is wild.
I understand.
So who have you gone in fourth?
Gerrard.
What? Okay, your list is all over the gaff. Usually I get grief.
The only player that hasn't won the league in this list for me.
But that demonstrates how good he is to be
in everyone's top 10 lists without a league title.
I mean, if Gerrard isn't in a top three, I think it's gone wrong.
Don't forget, you know, there's a certain level of favourites here and eras and all that.
Yeah, bias has to.
Gerrard, for me, I mean, listen, if Gerrard had won a league title, I think he shoots straight up this list to top 1-2.
Yeah.
We're talking, but he didn't. Unfortunately for him and Liverpool fans, but as the player himself, if you could build a midfielder for your side now or then, you build a Steven Gerrard.
I just don't understand how he's... I think Mohamed Salah is a great of the game. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think he's a Liverpool great, a great of the game in an all-time Liverpool 11 and worthy of all of the accolades that he gets. I've been arguing that Mohamed Salah... I've been saying Mohamed Salah and Harry Kane both deserve a Ballon d'Or. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it comes about. It probably won't happen. But there is no way that when Mohamed Salah retires, he wouldn't have been the best footballer on the planet for one of those years, right? It's impossible.
I agree.
And I would extend the same courtesy to Harry Kane. Mm-hmm. However, Steven Gerrard is Liverpool's greatest Premier League player of the Premier League era. Like, he's their greatest player.
He embodies what the club is.
He was unbelievable, Gerrard. He was just unbelievable at everything.
Everything.
At every single aspect of the game. He'd be the best. You know, whoever Liverpool were playing, you know, so Liverpool, when he was playing for Liverpool, who would have been his left back? Risa.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking.
Risa, yeah.
Gerrard would have been a better left back than their left back.
Yeah,
he would have been.
He played right back a couple of times for them.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
He would have been a better, whoever their right back was in that era, he would have been a better right back. Whoever their centre half was, certainly when it was like Honcho, he would have been a better player, certainly. And then even when they got sort of good, he was just an immense total footballer.
Yeah. Every level of football, you get those players that he's a player. You can put him anywhere and he's going to do what he knows that job requires, what it needs.
Man, but that form behind Torres, you know that form when he was kind of a goal scorer.
But if you put him in the position he wants to be in and he's really designed for, you get one of the greatest in that position.
I just think he's so good. And you know the goals that he scored. If you were to compile like Steven Gerrard's 10 best goals, they are bonkers.
Up there with the very best.
They are bonkers. Yeah, they are like do you know what I saw one? And this is how good he is. This goal probably wouldn't be on there. He scored a goal away at Marseille. Right, the ball kind of comes into him, it's played back to him first time, and he just whips it going the wrong way. You know, if you're curling it's kind of going the wrong way
Messi
into the far corner.
A few times.
Messi used to do it a lot. Going the wrong way, basically. Just puts it in the top corner at the Velodrome. Liverpool fans go mad, they're all being tear gassed. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're not even meant to shoot from there, let alone score.
Yeah, side foot finishes, lace finishes, volleys.
Biggest moments as well.
Drills, low, hard, free kicks.
European Cup final, FA Cup final, getting Liverpool into the
rough edge.
Yeah.
He had it all.
You've got him really low.
Fourth?
Yeah. I've gone Roy Keane fourth.
that's crazy, huh?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know. It gets really hard up here, right?
It does.
It gets really hard when we're at the top. We're tussling with some true greats.
Yep.
And it does get very tricky. But I think that Roy Keane is one of the greatest footballers ever.
He is.
I think everything about him was perfect. He's my kind of perfect footballer. You know what I want from a footballer, what I want from a captain? Every aspect of his game chimes with the way I see the game.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to talk about things that perhaps they don't like about him, I probably like those things.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think, yeah.
You know, well, there will be people who are slightly more woke than me watching this going, but he did this. I kind of like it. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't, but I think that everything that he did made him the greatest. It made Manchester United the greatest.
Yep, made him feared.
And that is why he is one of the greatest.
I agree. And I'll just add on top of that, in my opinion, the greatest captain this country has seen, the Premier League has seen.
Certainly, arguably. I would counter it, but it's not fair.
Adams is there, Terry's there, but I think Roy Keane, in terms of the amount he won with United, the stories you hear about United, the different teams that he managed to help Ferguson lead to, because much was said about the, you know, the relationship with him and Ferguson and how, you know, there was clashes.
It was Fergie on the pitch, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, he was the standard bearer.
Yeah.
You know, like, there were times, weren't there? I think Gary Neville has spoken about this. Gary Neville, like, didn't mark his man at a corner, and nobody, the guy that he perhaps let move, didn't score. The keeper just caught it.
Keane's on him.
Keane's had him round the throat, apparently, at half time. Like, it's the standards that need to be maintained at football.
And not only would he hold them to the standards he expects, he would also back them if they ever faced up against Gary Neville Vieira.
Yeah.
Oh, you're picking on him?
Yeah.
Come pick on me.
Yeah.
Or multiple times. I know he must have been Dennis Wise over those years as well. Yeah. You know, we know the Haaland issue. He just had, you know, something. So it, like I said, football then was a match, but it's who wins the fight first, especially Arsenal United.
Yeah.
And Keane was always
He's one of those people that you can almost just describe as the easiest way to surmise Roy Keane. And like, we've done our best, but it's way easier than what we've done. Winner. Just like a winner. Just I win, you lose. If you're against me, whatever it is, I win, you lose. My team wins, your team doesn't. Because that's how it's going to go.
Yep, that's the job.
And whatever way we're going to win, we're going to do it. We might be better footballers than you. In fact, we're almost definitely better footballers than you. And if you want to have a football match against us, we'll beat you at that. But if you decide to go in heavy on Neville, or go in heavy on Beckham, or go in heavy on Cole, That's fine as well.
Yeah.
Because we'll also beat you up. So whatever angle you want to beat us, we will beat you.
And he was, like we mentioned it with Lampard, Gerrard, big game players. Keane, maybe not in the same ilk of goal scoring as them, but he was a big game player.
Yeah, of course.
You know, his passing was underrated, in my opinion.
100%. Yeah, he's seen as a thug. People think of him. Again, this is a modern thing. But he's cruelly and maliciously kind of redefined now as being a bit of a Vinnie Jones type character. And it's just not true.
Much more than that.
No, he was as good on the ball as any midfielder at the time.
Yeah.
He was absolutely.
And he could get a goal or two in the, you know,
and
crashing.
And like you say, I mean, I think his role at Forest, he was very much a goal scorer. Yeah. And if you think about the treble, which he was a captain of, the reason that Man United won the treble, okay, he didn't play in the final, but they got to that final because of his goal at the Dele Alpi.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his performance at the Dele Alpi.
It wasn't just the goal. That was the performance. Him and Giggs, I remember that game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Antonio Conte was in their side. I think Antonio Conte couldn't cope with Keane.
No, no. Because when quality is one thing, but when you mix quality with a bit of fire, that's where, you know, he had the fire in the world.
Look, I think the Man United side, that treble winning side, was obviously amazing. And it probably happens almost irrespective of what you change, right? I don't think this is extreme. You could take anyone out of that team and maybe still win it.
Yeah.
Like, say you took Cole out of the team and Sheringham played a bigger role.
Yeah.
Maybe they still win it. You could take, I don't know, Ronnie Johnson out the back and David May plays. Maybe they still win it.
Yeah.
You cannot take Roy Keane out of that team and expect any success. Arsenal win the league that year without Keane. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he was, like you said, manager on the pitch. He was When things aren't going right, we look at Keane.
Standards.
You know, when things are not going right, he's the one shouting at us. Yeah. He was the for me, that's Man United have the greatest legacy in the Premier League in terms of that era. And I look at who the captain was, who the leader was, who the most integral player was. And it's Roy Keane.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. So who have you got here?
So my fourth was Gerrard. So we already
You got Gerrard, right. So who have you got in third?
I've put Scholes in third.
I've got Scholes in third.
Yeah, I put Scholes.
Do you know? Do you know why?
I was deliberating there, but I'm gonna put Scholes in third.
Yeah, I mean the reason why, just to like put it in context, how brilliant Paul Scholes was. Chelsea are a big club. Mm-hmm. Nobody would argue with that. Chelsea are a big club, and I'd say it the least controversial way I could say it. Chelsea are in the top five biggest clubs in the country.
Yeah,
top five. We're a really successful club. We've won 6 league titles. This geezer's won 11.
That's crazy.
We've won 6 and we're massive. This one geezer, one little ginger bloke out of Oldham.
Yeah.
He's won 11 league
more than
titles.
That's more than City. That's only behind Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal.
He's won 11. He's unbelievable. And do you know how difficult it is for Manchester United to be winning every single year? And whatever's going on, he doesn't change.
Yeah.
Like, so Fergie going to spend a lot of money, going to break the transfer record. He could go and sign anyone, and he does. He's going to go and sign this brilliant centre forward from Holland. Doesn't touch the midfield.
No, never.
Doesn't touch the midfield. He's going to break the transfer market again, and he's going to break the transfer record again, and he's going to go out and he's going to sign this amazing winger. Not going to touch the midfield though. So he can. He could
yeah,
elevate.
He could have, yeah.
But he doesn't. And like, you think of what Paul Scholes was, from playing behind Cantona as that kind of centre forward, just off the centre forward, to then, 15 years later, playing as a quarterback and winning a European Cup.
Yeah, and I think that says a lot about Scholes. For me, that profile he became, England haven't produced many of those profiles.
A very un-English player.
Yeah, because you look maybe Spain, deep-line playmaker type, Xavi.
Yeah.
You know, you might look at Pirlo at Italy. Scholes for England, even till today, he is the one that managed to fulfill that role in a similar way to some of the greats of other international sides. I haven't seen, like, you know, Zubimendi for us, for example. Scholes was the man of that profile.
Yeah.
You know, just sits, he can spray it, he can pass it between the lines, and you know what? He can get a volley or two from outside the box
but
if you
think
need
about
it.
As well, like, Fergie had to get him out of retirement.
Bring him, January,
And he comes back and he knocks City out of the cup or
just
whatever.
Starts, hits the ground running, passing the ball like he's never been away.
It just all came so easily to him, didn't it, football? It was just kind of who he was. It was just in...
Could never tackle, but...
Found space. No, he was...
That's why he got keen there.
He was... Yes, exactly. But he was very much an on-the-ball footballer. Give him the ball and then think about
it. I think Ferguson used to wince when he used to slide because, he was... Did he leave that out?
It certainly wasn't his forte. But he's an immense player. Do you know, I always still get this like almost a chill. You know when I'm on the overlap, Paul Scholes, like, very down to earth, incredibly down to earth, kind of walks in and he'll go, "All right, Rory." And I'm like, "What?
Crazy.
You've got 11 leagues, mate. Yeah. European Cup. Why do you know my name? What is happening?" Yeah, a true great at the game.
100%.
Which leads us on to second. I don't know. I can't think who you've got in second.
The man you put seventh.
You got Vieira second?
I got Vieira second, yeah.
Well, you and I are all over the place here. Usually we kind of align.
No, we balance quite a bit, but obviously our I had Lampard lower than you'd expect. You had Vieira lower than
I expect. Am I wrong about Vieira then? Because I had Vieira 7, Is that too low?
I think it's too low. I think, for what he had to come up against too, for who he took the leadership and captaincy from, Tony Adams, for what he went on to do, in the Invincible season and obviously the double season when Adams was still about in 0-2, going up against Roy Keane. Everything I said about Roy Keane, you could say the same about Vieira for Arsenal. He was the man we'd all look at if he's getting a bit, tasty out there. He's also the one that you look at as a rough guy, but he'll just dink it over a player, chest it down and just glide across the pitch.
Yeah.
I think overall, Vieira had dribbling ability. He was a menace in terms of physicality. He was just always on it, and he had a little eye for goal as well.
Big goals, like good goals as well. You can remember that one against Man United, kind of again curling the wrong way.
Yeah, that exact goal. Yeah, 100%. So for me, Vieira, because of the era he was in, which I look at as the best era in my opinion, not just because Arsenal were there, but I guess
what was his best balance? Him and Petit? Was that the best it got? Or was it Gilberto?
Gilberto. Yeah, Gilberto, because Vieira didn't have to clean up as much with Gilberto there, and that just allowed him to be the box-to-box swan. He was like a big just swan in the middle of it. It just didn't make sense. On one hand, he could just, you know, shoulder to shoulder, move a player out of the way and regain the ball. But he could also just break the lines with his running, his dribbling. Vieira had everything.
Yeah,
Vieira had everything. And that's why I rate Keane so highly, because I think Vieira was a better footballer than Keane. Easy. But Keane would always stand up to the battle. He would always sometimes come out the winner many times in that era. So for me, Vieira, Vieira disrupted Sir Alex's you know, early glory days in the Premier League.
And probably when you think about Arsenal, I mean, Thierry Henry is most certainly this. But you know, when you think about players that just embody the club, it's sort of Adams, Wright, Vieira, Henry, isn't it? He is one of the anchors of the football club, one of the biggest football clubs in the capital, one of the biggest football clubs in Europe, therefore one of the big clubs in the world. And Patrick Vieira is one of the kind of anchors that holds it.
He came in baby-faced, player from Milan.
£3.5 million, I remember.
Yeah, 96. So 97, 98, he played a big part, still very young. Petit was there. And we went 3 years without a title, but, you know, he came back and bounced back. All through that time, Vieira just grew and grew and grew. And then when he took that captaincy off Adams, listen, Adams for me is our greatest captain of all time. So I always thought the person who takes it next is going to have a job on their hands. He took it, ran away with it.
Yeah. No, he's great.
And
you're
his
right.
His last kick for us, a penalty against United FA Cup.
Yeah.
And then he's off.
Yeah, yeah, he got very lucky that day.
Very.
I tell you what, again, I think I will concede. I'm not going to redo my list, but I will concede that if I were to do it again, Vieira would probably be higher. Who have you got at number one?
Did you say your second?
My second was Gerrard.
Oh, Gerrard, okay.
My second was Steven Gerrard. I mean, we have discussed him, but yeah, I've gone Steven Gerrard just for all of the reasons that I said before. I think amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I'm very rare, I think, but I don't really hold not winning a league title against him. It doesn't...
It's harsh.
It doesn't really change things. You are right, though. If Steven Gerrard had four league titles, it could be... It could change things.
There wouldn't be a debate here.
No. I think you're right.
There wouldn't be a debate.
Number one.
We talked about him already. I've got Roy Keane.
Got Keane number one.
I've got Roy Keane number one. It surprises a lot of people.
You've done well here. What you've managed to do, this is clever from you, right? Your list is littered with bias. But because you've done this, it sort of legitimizes the rest of your list.
Can I
Everyone will go, there's no way that is. You can't say he's biased. You've put Keane one.
But I am also Irish.
Are you?
Yeah.
Your name is misleading then.
Turkish and Irish doesn't have the same ring to a name.
Are you half Irish?
You're quarter Irish, yeah.
Are you really?
And I'm close. Well, my nan passed away a couple of years ago, but very close to that side. I mean, we spoke about my nan and your nan and whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah, very close to that side from Dublin. So I've always had that connection with the Irish side. And listen, enemy during the 90s and early 2000s, but just grew to appreciate him. And Roy Keane for me, we've spoken about him enough, but he's my number one. So there's still some bias in there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And I've gone for Frank Lampard, and nobody needs to.
I expect that.
That's the least shocking thing that you will 100%. Ever hear. Yeah, I think Frank Lampard is leaps and bounds. But yeah.
Good list. I mean,
it's a good list.
We've crossed it's over been enjoyable, quite well, man. Yeah, the only person I didn't have from yours was Ince.
Yeah, you didn't have Paul Ince.
And you didn't have Rodri.
I came so close to having Michael Essien. Sort of regretting it.
It's hard. It's a difficult conversation for sure.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But yeah, it's great to kind of talk about these players as well. You know, kind of just to acknowledge how brilliant they were. Fabregas, Scholes, Kante. Mm-hmm. Like, unreal.
Did you ever mention Makelele? Doesn't he make the...
He's nearly there.
Essien above him for you.
I liked Essien. I like the way Essien played. I think Essien was a more complete midfielder.
Yeah.
But then I think kind of N'Golo Kante has to be in. Because of what he did.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a fair few. Yeah, you have.
Yeah, it's hard. As always, mate, a joy.
Nah,
great work, Turkish. Thank you so much for finding the time to come on.
Thank you.
And make sure that you check out the link in the description below. You will find the link to Turkish's YouTube channel there. Fantastic stuff going on. Make sure that you go and subscribe. It really is brilliant. Please let us know your thoughts in the comment section below as well. Do you agree with the list? Who have we left off? What would you change? Ta-da.
Thank you.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.